Many people have told me that one of the things they like most about St. Anthony's is that we welcome everyone to come to the altar rail. We don't care who you are, or whether you're card-carrying Episcopalians or whether you've been baptized. We welcome all ethnicities and all sexual orientations, all disabilities, all income levels. It doesn't matter who you are, you're welcome to come to the altar rail at St. Anthony's. We made this decision a few years ago, and I have to admit, I was a little reluctant to do this. There's 2,000 years of church tradition in which the church has said that baptism comes before communion. That the first sacrament is baptism, and that's what prepares you to take Holy Communion. So that keeps communion special and sacred. And so that's an argument for keeping it so that only those who are baptized can come to communion. And I don't take 2,000 years of church history lightly. But other people were saying, look at Jesus. Jesus didn't restrict the people that he ate with. He sat down with tax collectors and sinners. That's one of the defining characteristics of Jesus' life and ministry was open table fellowship, that he sat down and ate with so many people. And when he fed the 5,000 on the hillside, he didn't check IDs or erect fences to direct people and keep people out. He fed the whole 5,000. So if Jesus didn't erect any barriers, who are we to erect any barriers to communion? So I struggled with this decision, and in the end, I decided I would take it to a higher authority. Not the bishop, but Jane Stockwell. The matriarch of our church. She was in her 90s. She used to sit right there. And I explained it to her. And she says, I think that would be all right. So since then, we've had a policy of open communion. In the letter to the Romans that we heard read this morning, Paul says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. He's writing to the church in Rome, and in the church in Rome there are both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Jewish Christians are those who were born and raised as Jews, but they have accepted Christ as their Lord and become baptized and become part of the fellowship of the church. The Gentile Christians were most likely Greeks, who had been pagan worshipers, but they had accepted Christ as their Savior and become baptized and become part of the fellowship of the church also. But there were distinctions within the church. The Jewish Christians said, well, we are descendants of Abraham, and we are inheritors of the promises that were made, that God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and so you know, we have priority in the church. The Gentile Christians, they're late to the party, and so they need to earn their respect here. But the Gentile Christians said that, we are full of the Spirit. We're new Christians. We don't carry all that old baggage with us. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so there was a little struggle between the two groups. And Paul, in the letter, is trying to create harmony within the church. He's trying to bring them to unity. So he says, may God grant you to live in harmony with one another, so that with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, he says, as Christ has welcomed you. So that's the principle we use in Christ's communion, that Christ has welcomed us, so we welcome others. We welcome everyone. Anyone who has experienced the love and forgiveness and acceptance of Christ knows what the welcome of Christ is. The rule is that we are to be like Christ. As Christ was, so are we to be. As Christ welcomed us, we are to welcome others. A good portion of Paul's letter to the Romans deals with this matter of welcome. Early in the letter to the Romans, chapter 3, he says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But through the sacrifice of Christ, we have been saved and welcomed into the family of God." That's sort of Romans in a nutshell. And in the reading today, which is near the end of Romans, chapter 15, Paul is working out the practical applications of that sort of dense theology in chapters 1 through 11. And he says, Christ has welcomed us, so we should, who are we not to welcome others? I can imagine some members of that church in Rome raising some objections. They might say, now wait a minute. If we welcome everyone, someone is going to take advantage of us. We can't just welcome everyone who comes in the door. We have to be on guard. And besides, if we welcome everyone, then who will we be? We won't be special anymore. There has to be some limits to this welcome. And Paul says to them, did Christ have any limits on his welcome? No. So neither should you put any limits on your welcome. I know it's not easy to welcome everyone. Welcome is a matter of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. When we welcome another person, we have to dismantle the barriers in our heart. We have to take off the armor that we use to defend ourselves so that we can welcome another person. Years ago, my little sister fell in love with a Hispanic young man, Sam Lopez. Wonderful guy, generous and open-hearted and humorous. But my mother was not so sure. My mother was raised in South Dakota on a ranch, and she was brought up to be a proper young woman to join the white society. And she said, you know, if they get married and if they have kids, those kids are going to be chocolate colored. They're not going to be brown or white. And sure enough, they did get married, and they had two beautiful daughters who are just as brown as their father. And my mother fell in love with those girls, and she welcomed them into our family. Then my older sister fell in love with a Jewish man. My mother has been a devoted Methodist all her life, and I don't know how many Jewish people she ever was in contact with. So again, she was a little reluctant. And she said, are they going to raise the kids in the Jewish tradition or in the Christian tradition? And I know that was a little difficult for her. And sure enough, they did get married, and they had two sons that they raised in the Jewish tradition. And mother went to bar mitzvahs for both of them. And she loves those boys. And she has welcomed them into our family. And now one of those boys, one of my nephews, has fallen in love with a girl whose grandparents were both immigrants from Japan. And so she's full-blooded Japanese. So again, my mother has had to expand her vision of her family. And she's gotten to know Annie, and she's welcomed her into our family. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. You know, people crave welcome. The first thing we look for when we come into a room or into a new space is, am I welcome here? Is there a place for me here? And all too often we find that we're not really welcomed as a whole person. You know, we're welcome for what we can bring to somebody else or what they can get from us, but not truly welcomed. But the church should be a place where people are welcomed for who they are. Have you ever noticed what the deacon does during the offertory anthem? He takes a beautiful white cloth and he unfolds it on the altar so that he can put the chalice and the paten there, the bread and the wine. It's one of the instructions in the prayer book. It says that during communion, a clean white cloth will be spread upon the holy temple, holy table. And it's such a beautiful gesture of generosity and hospitality. It's like when someone comes to your house and you're going to have them over for dinner, you set the table. You put out the nice tablecloth and you put out the plates and the silver and the china. That's what he's doing. Making the table welcome for everyone who comes. In his letter, Paul emphasizes the unity of the church. He's trying to bring people together. He says, "May God grant you to live together in harmony so that with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Last Sunday, as we were saying the Lord's Prayer, I was listening, and it seemed to me that each phrase was completely together. You know, this room is very resonant, and so we can all hear each other. And as we were saying the Lord's Prayer, it sounded like we were saying it with one voice. May God grant us to live together in harmony so that with one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.